Today is the 13th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we take the next step forward together, which will lead us back into a book that we're getting into, the book of Joshua. We have finally found ourselves in the Promised Land. The children of Israel have made their first conquest of a city, that being the city of Jericho, when the walls fell down. Then they went to scout a nearby village called Ai. They decided not to send the whole army because it's just a small place. And they are defeated. They attack the city of Ai and they are defeated. And it is because someone rebelled against God in the matter of Jericho. And they're trying to sort it all out. And that's where we pick up the story. Joshua chapter 7, verse 16 through 9, verse 2. Early the next morning, Joshua brought Israel forward, tribe by tribe, and the tribe of Judah was picked out. He brought the tribe of Judah forward, clan by clan, and the clan of Zerah was picked out. Then he brought the clan of Zerah forward, family by family, and the family of Zabdi was picked out. He then brought Zabdi's family forward, one by one, and Achan, the son of Carmi, and grandson of Zabdi, was picked out. Joshua said to him, "My son, tell the truth here before the Lord, the God of Israel, and confess. Tell me now what you have done. Don't try to hide it from me." "It's true," Achan answered. "I have sinned against the Lord, Israel's God, and this is what I did. Among the things we seized, I saw a beautiful Babylonian cloak, about 5 pounds of silver and a bar of gold weighing over 1 pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. You will find them buried inside my tent with the silver at the bottom." So Joshua sent some men who ran to the tent and found that the condemned things really were buried there, with the silver at the bottom. They brought them out of the tent, took them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and laid them down in the presence of the Lord. Joshua, along with all the people of Israel, seized Achan, the silver, the cloak, the bar of gold, together with Achan's sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and everything else he owned, and they took them to Trouble Valley. And Joshua said, "Why have you brought such trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you." All the people then stoned Achan to death. They also stoned and burned his family and possessions. They put a huge pile of stones over him, which is there to this day. That is why that place is still called Trouble Valley. Then the Lord was no longer furious. The Lord said to Joshua, "Take all the soldiers with you and go on up to Ai. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I will give you victory over the king of Ai. His people, city, and land will be yours. You are to do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king. But this time you may keep its goods and livestock for yourselves. Prepare to attack the city by surprise from the rear." So Joshua got ready to go to Ai with all his soldiers. He picked out 30,000 of his best troops and sent them out at night with these orders: "Hide on the other side of the city, but not too far away from it. Be ready to attack. My men and I will approach the city. When the men of Ai come out against us, we will turn and run just as we did the first time. They will pursue us until we have led them away from the city. They will think that we are running from them, as we did before. Then you will come out of hiding and capture the city. The Lord your God will give it to you. After you have taken the city, set it on fire just as the Lord has commanded. These are your orders." So Joshua sent them out, and they went to their hiding place and waited there, west of Ai, between Ai and Bethel. Joshua spent the night in camp. Early in the morning, Joshua got up and called the soldiers together. Then he and the leaders of Israel led them to Ai. The soldiers with him went toward the main entrance to the city and set up camp on the north side, with a valley between themselves and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and put them in hiding west of the city between Ai and Bethel. The soldiers were arranged for battle with the main camp north of the city and the rest of the men to the west. Joshua spent the night in the valley. When the king of Ai saw Joshua's men, he acted quickly. He and all his men went out toward the Jordan Valley to fight the Israelites at the same place as before, not knowing that he was about to be attacked from the rear. Joshua and his men pretended that they were retreating and ran away toward the barren country. All the men in the city had been called together to go after them, and as they pursued Joshua, they kept getting farther away from the city. Every man in Ai went after the Israelites, and the city was left wide open with no one to defend it. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Point your spear at Ai. I am giving it to you." Joshua did as he was told, and as soon as he lifted his hand, the men who had been hiding got up quickly, ran into the city, and captured it. They immediately set the city on fire. When the men of Ai looked back, they saw the smoke rising to the sky. There was no way for them to escape, because the Israelites who had run toward the barren country now turned around to attack them. When Joshua and his men saw that the others had taken the city and that it was on fire, they turned around and began killing the men of Ai. The Israelites in the city now came down to join the battle. So the men of Ai found themselves completely surrounded by Israelites, and they were all killed. Not one got away, and no one lived through it except the king of Ai. He was captured and taken to Joshua. The Israelites killed every one of the enemy in the barren country, where they had chased them. They went back to Ai and killed everyone there. Joshua kept his spear pointed at Ai and did not put it down until every person there had been killed. The whole population of Ai was killed that day, 12,000 men and women. The Israelites kept for themselves the livestock and goods captured in the city, as the Lord had told Joshua. Joshua burned Ai and left it in ruins. It is still like that today. He hanged the king of Ai from a tree and left his body there until evening. At sundown, Joshua gave orders for the body to be removed, and it was thrown down at the entrance to the city gate. They covered it with a huge pile of stones, which is still there today. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. He made it according to the instructions that Moses, the Lord's servant, had given the Israelites, as it says in the law of Moses, an altar made of stones which have not been cut with iron tools. On it they offered burnt sacrifices to the Lord, and they also presented their fellowship offerings. There, with the Israelites looking on, Joshua made on the stones a copy of the law which Moses had written. The Israelites, with their leaders, officers, and judges, as well as the foreigners among them, stood on two sides of the Lord's covenant box, facing the Levitical priests who carried it. Half of the people stood with their backs to Mount Gerizim, and the other half with their backs to Mount Ebal. The Lord's servant Moses had commanded them to do this when the time came for them to receive the blessing. Joshua then read aloud the whole law, including the blessings and the curses, just as they are written in the book of the law. Every one of the commandments of Moses was read by Joshua to the whole gathering, which included women and children, as well as the foreigners living among them. The victories of Israel became known to all the kings west of the Jordan, in the hills, in the foothills, and all along the coastal plain of the Mediterranean Sea, as far north as Lebanon. These were the kings of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They all came together and joined forces to fight against Joshua and the Israelites. Luke 16, 1 through 18. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was once a rich man who had a servant who managed his property. The rich man was told that the manager was wasting his master's money. So he called him in and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in a complete account of your handling of my property, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' The servant said to himself, 'My master is going to dismiss me from my job. What shall I do? I am not strong enough to dig ditches, and I am ashamed to beg. Now I know what I will do. Then when my job is gone, I shall have friends who will welcome me in their homes.' So he called in all the people who were in debt to his master. He asked the first one, 'How much do you owe my master?' 100 barrels of olive oil, he answered. 'Here is your account,' the manager told him. 'Sit down and write 50. Then he asked another one, 'And you, how much do you owe?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he answered. 'Here is your account,' the manager told him. 'Write 800. As a result, the master of this dishonest manager praised him for doing such a shrewd thing, because the people of this world are much more shrewd in handling their affairs than the people who belong to the light. And Jesus went on to say, 'And so I tell you, make friends for yourselves with worldly wealth, so that when it gives out, you will be welcome in the eternal home. Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? No servant can be the slave of two masters. Such a slave will hate one and love the other, or will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.' When the Pharisees heard all this, they made fun of Jesus because they loved money. Jesus said to them, 'You are the ones who make yourselves look right in other people's sight. But God knows your hearts. For the things that are considered of great value by people are worth nothing in God's sight. The law of Moses and the writings of the prophets were in effect up to the time of John the Baptist. Since then, the good news about the kingdom of God is being told, and everyone forces their way in. But it is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the smallest detail of the law to be done away with. Any man who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.'" Psalm 82. God, the Supreme Ruler. God presides in the heavenly council. In the assembly of the gods, he gives his decision. You must stop judging unjustly. You must no longer be partial to the wicked. Defend the rights of the poor and the orphans. Be fair to the needy and the helpless. Rescue them from the power of evil people. How ignorant you are! How stupid! You are completely corrupt, and justice has disappeared from the world. You are gods, I said. All of you are children of the Most High. But you will die like mortals. Your life will end like that of any prince. Come, O God, and rule the world. All the nations are yours. Proverbs 13, 2 and 3. good people will be rewarded for what they say, but those who are deceitful are hungry for violence. Be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. Okay, so in the book of Joshua, we finally now know what's going on and why the children of Israel were defeated in their second battle. Right, they had marched around the walls of Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. They ran inside. Jericho was destroyed. They had been given specific instructions about what was to happen, and there was no plunder to be taken. Everybody knew what was going on, but Achan, he saw some stuff he wanted, and he took it. And when the army went to go against the city of Ai and were defeated, 36 people were killed. And they were defeated. The children of Israel were defeated and ran away, which sent them consulting with God, which eventually revealed that Achan had taken some plunder against his oath, against his covenant, against his promise, against everyone's promise, and against God's specific, explicit instructions. And this is where idolatry begins, right? It begins with disobedience, dishonesty, deception, and trusting in that which is not God or from or of God. And it did not work out well for Achan. And through this story, we are once again reminded that it will not work out well for us or anyone else. Oddly enough, when we turn over into the New Testament, into the Gospel of Luke, Jesus pretty well explains this for us, and I quote, "Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in larger ones. Whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in larger ones. If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? No servant can be the slave of two masters. Such a slave will hate one and love the other, or will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And so what we see unfolding here is that God has given instructions, has also given vision for an outcome of those instructions. They're clear instructions. They're not nuanced. But then, like people, we look for the shortcuts. We look for the nuances. We look for what we can get away with. We look for how far we can press the matter. And in the story of Achan and the children of Israel in the Battle of Ai, as well as Jesus' statements to the Pharisees, we see that there is indeed a limit. And it appears to be that the limit is anything that will cause us to be drawn away from God, anything that will turn our hearts even a little bit, because over time it will become a lot. And actually, the children of Israel will teach us this lesson over and over again, because what we've seen begin with Achan is a pattern that we will see recur over the generations. And once again, we'll see where the road goes. And it never goes anywhere good. Whatever we put our trust in is something that gains our devotion and allegiance and loyalty. If that is not God, we are not on the right path. If we're not on the right path, we're not going where we want to go. If we're not going where we want to go, we're not going to end up where we wanted to be. And no shortcut is going to get us there. Jesus said that there is a narrow path that leads to life, but few ever find it. Well, one of the first steps in finding it has to be removing anything that would draw us away from it. And this is one of the great themes in the Bible. It's one of the things that recur over and over again across the generations. Because we're still learning those lessons. Even in our own personal lives, even in our extraordinarily modern times. And so we're left to consider, where is my allegiance? Where is my loyalty? If I know the answer to those things, I know where my trust is. If the answer to that isn't God, then we have a problem. So, Father, we invite you into that. It is not our desire. It is our desire to walk with you day by day, step by step, every moment of every day, in your presence, doing your work in this world. And we are distracted by every possible thing that can pull us away from that. And we recognize that, and we know that, and we need you. We need you today more than we needed you yesterday. We need you more than ever. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Help us to have that margin where we can see these things before they become strongholds in our lives, so that we can see that the choices that we're making are choices to chain ourselves to things that are going to take a long time to get unchained from. Help us to see what you are seeing, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It's where you find out what's happening around here. Of course, the app does the same thing. So download the app for free from the app store that is connected to your device. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you will have the Daily Audio Bible app and be able to kind of keep track of all the different days that we go through. And as we move through the different sections of the Bible, we'll get our badge and feel the sense of progress through the scriptures. So yeah, check out the Daily Audio Bible app. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if this mission to do what we do and what we've been doing 7 days a week for, well, we're in our 17th year, so 16 and a half years nearly, every day, if reading the scriptures fresh every day in community around the global campfire is life-giving to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, everyone. It's Christy from Kentucky. I wanted to call and just talk to a couple of my sisters in Christ. I want to thank you both. I sit here this morning with tears in my eyes. Daddy's girl in Kansas. You called in and talked about a sister who had lost her mom, that she had called in on the community prayers on April the 2nd. And I don't know the lady's name, but Daddy's girl, I want you to know that thank you for calling in, because sometimes when we call in for other people, we're also calling in for someone we don't even know that has walked through that. And that was the exact scenario when I lost my mom in 2017, when I begged her. She was in a coma, and I begged her, please don't leave. Please don't leave me, Mom. And then a tear came from her eye, just a single tear, and my heart broke. And then I said, it's okay. It's okay. Mom, it's okay. You can go to Jesus. It'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll take care of the family. You were speaking to me too. Thank you. And LGB, I just wanted you to know that thank you for your call. It was so precious, and the last thing I did was sing Amazing Grace over my mama. I love you guys so very much. God is so good, and He works through us when we don't even know that He's working through us. I love this family. I love you guys so very much. I pray you have a blessed day today.
Dear Eyes of a Dove, I just heard your call on April the 11th, and I just want you to know I am so sorry. I know this feeling of exhaustion, the fear, and not knowing what will happen next. 2 years ago, I experienced something similar. God gave me the wisdom and strength to let go of my fiancé. In the pain, I loved him enough to let him go and placed him into the Lord's hands to let God do what He's famous for. God will bless your obedience. I heard you say He took a job as a trucker, and you don't know how that will help. But like Brian said about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, God works in the most unexpected ways. I will be praying for you, sister. You're not alone. And God, we will be holding your arms up like Aaron and Hur did for Moses. We will be holding you up. I love you. Love your sister, Ashley, in California.
Hello, DAB family. This is Leticia calling. I have called prior with the news that I lost my father. He passed away at 92 a couple of weeks ago, March 22nd. His wife, my mother, passed away this Monday, April 4th. I'm calling because I want to give out due respect to her as well. I'm so grateful that I am able to share with you the sadness of these occurrences. I don't share with family, but thank you for allowing me to share my mourning with you. And I know you're praying, and I pray for you. I am grateful. Thank you, Brian and Jill. So my mother missed her husband, her man, her guy, her hero. And so now they rest together, and I feel blessed for it, but I am very sad, and I love them very much. Thank you for allowing me to share. God bless, my friends.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Robbie from Canada. I would like to repent. I am perhaps the most double-minded Christian that's ever walked this planet. I often feel like I'm the worst Christian on the planet. But I just want to repent right now because I feel God's spirit in me, and I you have to be all in, like Brian was saying today on April 11th. Jesus asked us, you know, it's all or nothing. And, oh wow, that's the key. And so I wanted to just thank you for that, Brian. And thank you for your ministry. And yeah, it's like, though you slay me, I trust you, like Job said. And it's just so important to have that level of faith that our bodies are living sacrifices for God. Oh, so I just wanted to repent and please ask for prayer to give me faith and to walk out my whole life in faith and to acknowledge Him in all my ways. I have not been doing that. And so far, my life has not been a good testimony for the Lord, so I want that to change. Okay. God bless you all. Thank you.
Good morning, family. This is Aaron in Michigan, and it is, April 12th today. But I just finished listening to April 9th, so I'm a little behind, but I'm keeping on. So, Brian, thank you. Jill, China, Ben, Ezekiel, thank you so much for this wonderful podcast, and thank you for answering God's call. So I was listening to the April 9th podcast, and it was about healing the daughter of Abraham and 18 years being bent over and, you know, just being... And right now, friends, I am, you know, a year out from a really big breakup and trying to heal from that and trying to look at my behavior. And within that, I see addiction. And within that, I see the way that I have learned to deal with things and where I've found my worth in the past and where I continue sometimes to look for my worth instead of to Jesus, to look for my identity and my worth in Jesus. And it just really struck me today that, you know, for over 18 years now, I have been bent over with this addiction and couldn't straighten up and couldn't stand tall and couldn't stand worthy in the face of God's love. And now I understand, Sabbath or no, he asked me to stand up and asked me to be whole. And I just praise you. So today's, you know, the 9th, it's not today's message, but the message from April 9th really just blessed my soul. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for your obedience to God. And friends, if you look in the mirror and or if you're shown a picture of you by people that is not whole and that is not who Jesus sees us, let us deny that. All right. Thanks, friends. Have a great day.